From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall. Shai, it seems like Cheney University has been on life support forever.
It does. Over the last several years, Cheney's struggles have run the gamut, almost losing its accreditation, being saddled with crushing debt, and shrinking enrollment. A couple weeks ago, the campus dorms even ran out of hot water.
I don't know if you heard about that, but the hot water here at Cheney, it wasn't working for a week.
I wasn't expecting the school to have the water problems, the no heat problems, and the fire alarm going off every day. You can't take a nap because the fire alarm keeps going off. I wasn't expecting this to happen at the school.
There's a lot of staff here that we lost just from, you know, budget cuts and stuff like that.
But the one thing that hasn't changed is Cheney pride. There's a certain status the school enjoys with being the nation's first historically black university.
It's a great school. The staff here care about you. As far as like the students, everyone pretty much knows each other. It's like family here, pretty much.
At the end of the day, you know, Cheney University, it is the first institute, the first black institute.
I mean, I like this school. I like what they got to bring in, what they got to offer. It's just we got a lot of improvement within the campus that we got to start doing.
And now, under a new president, Aaron Walton, it appears Cheney is turning a corner. Walton recently announced a new collaborative plan to sustain the school by trying to generate revenue from its 275-acre campus in Chester County.
I'm happy to project that the fiscal year ending June of 2019, we will have a balanced budget.
Why has Cheney struggled over the years? And how can the institution position itself to be self-sufficient in the future?
Today on The Why, can Cheney survive?
We wanted to take a historical and personal look at Cheney, so we asked Mary Beth Gassman, a professor of education at Penn who studies HBCUs, and Michael Cord, a Philadelphia attorney and Cheney alum, to sit down with us.
Michael Cord says his journey to Cheney started in elementary school.
I went to a school in North Philadelphia, Pratt Arnold, 22nd and Dolphin. The teachers there were really dedicated and committed, but they didn't have resources because we were a poor urban school. In the third grade, there was a citywide test, and I lucked up and did well. So what did the system do? They pulled me out of that North Philly school and put me in Masterman. Now, once they put me in Masterman, my way was paved. But I was no smarter than Tyrone, who sat behind me at Pratt Arnold, and Lakeisha, who sat in front of me. But I got lucky, got into Masterman, and from there, Cheney University and Ohio State School of Law.
I'm Mary Beth Gassman, and I'm a professor of higher education at the University of Pennsylvania. Well, Cheney is really amazingly unique in that it's one of three black colleges that were started prior to the Civil War. So Cheney began as the Institute for Colored Youth in 1837. And, you know, Pennsylvania had a lot of Quakers and people who were supportive of the abolitionist movement. And so that plays a part in how Cheney begins, because unlike many places in the South, the majority of the South, in the North, you do have people, both whites and free blacks, who are coming together to try to educate African Americans and to, quote, uplift the race. So that's what you're seeing, and Cheney is the result of that.
I loved writing, I loved reading, and I went to Cheney for two reasons. One, because of its history as a black school, and two, more immediately, to become an English teacher. So for my freshman year and my sophomore year, I took all the education courses, all the English courses. And then at the end of my sophomore year, just like every other student, we applied for summer jobs. And I waited for the last minute. There were no good summer jobs available except one that nobody wanted. There was a group called PRC, Prisoners' Rights Council. It was a group of quote-unquote ex-cons who had gotten together. They had this little building, but they were functionally illiterate. And they wanted to apply for grants and loans, but they couldn't fill out the forms. So they reached out to different colleges for summer interns. And I said, I don't want to work with these thugs, these criminals, but I needed a summer job. they changed my life. These were men who made mistakes early in their life. They were truly rehabilitated. They said, Michael, you love to talk. You love to write. You talk too much. You argue. Being a teacher is a noble profession, but you ought to be a lawyer. And they redirected me. So now I go back to Cheney and say, hey, I took all these English courses and education courses. What can you do? And here's where that family thing comes into HBCUs. Hmm. They tailor-made a program for me so that if I stayed an extra semester, I'd not only get a Bachelor of Science in English Education, but I'd get a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science. So I graduated from Cheney with two separate degrees, and that paved the way to get a full academic scholarship to Ohio State University School of Law.
Over the past few decades, Cheney has fallen on hard times.
It's no secret that this university has been in distressed financial condition for years. The school ran a budget deficit of $7.4 million in fiscal 2017.
The reasons why are complicated. Mary Beth Gassman says it's a combination of things, from financial mismanagement to enrollment that's steadily declined over the past 10 years and dropped by 38% just since last year. In addition, she says Pennsylvania hasn't always treated the school fairly. In 1969, the federal government cited Pennsylvania for discriminating in its university funding. That funding imbalance was never addressed, and in 1999, the state signed an agreement with the government to provide more funding and new programs to the school, but that agreement was never fully implemented.
There has been underfunding of Cheney over the years as part of the state system. What we know is overall in the country that black colleges historically, if they are part of state systems, have been discriminated against in terms of funding. I will say that Pennsylvania has put more money as of late into Cheney.
In recent years, the state has given Cheney yearly loans to keep it afloat and corrected the funding imbalance. Michael Cord says it's too little too late.
Let's say over the last 10 years that in the first year of the 10 years, there's this pie, and the 13 white schools get 99% of the pie. Cheney gets 1%. Second year, same thing. Third, fourth, fifth. So now here we are at the 10th year, and the state says, yeah, Mike, you're right. We haven't been slicing the pie equally, so now we'll give everybody equal slices, 14. We're like, no, we got to get more than 1/14 because of what you did in the last 9 years. Cheney's plight is not self-inflicted. It comes from outside. So we are where we are because of the system, but we're overcoming it.
You know, from my overview of Cheney, looking at their numbers and looking at their numbers through the National Center for Educational Statistics, which is those are numbers that they submit, right, is that they are spending too much money on administration, on kind of like the overhead component. In comparison to their peers, they are spending more money.
So, Mary Beth, there's been a lot of talk about a possible merger between Cheney and Westchester University, which is just a couple of miles down the road from Cheney. Could that be plausible?
So, I mean, this is always a really tricky thing, right? Because we've seen mergers before. We've seen two mergers where the HBCU ends up being the prominent institution. But we've also seen attempts where HBCUs have sort of been swallowed by bigger institutions. So Westchester's very strong. So I would not be someone who would like to see that happen, but I could think of something, this will still be controversial, that could happen. And that could be that Cheney could become the honors college for Westchester in collaboration. And so I could see that happening as long as Westchester doesn't swallow Cheney. I know that most of the time Black College alumni want to keep the institution exactly as it is, and I get that, but most institutions that stay exactly as they are do not succeed. None of them.
Current students are divided on the idea of a merger.
I mean, if they merge, I feel as though Cheney might go up, like it might become better, but I think it's going to lose that HBCU type of feel to it if Westchester and them merge together.
And, you know, just to kind of have a merger with Westchester, I feel that, like, you know, all the black history and black excellence behind the school kind of would be taken away.
It'll be like a dim light for us. if we end up having to merge with another school.
But say the word merger to Michael Cord, and he says,
that's just not going to happen. The alumni would rebel. The students would rebel. We just wouldn't take it. I mean, when I say rebel, I literally mean rebel. I mean civil disobedience. I mean lawsuits. I mean all that stuff. Cheney has a mission from 1837, and that mission would be disrespected and desecrated if we made any connection with any other predominantly white institution. They can do their thing based on their mission, but Cheney has a unique mission, and a subsidiary to a predominantly white university is not it, and it just wouldn't happen.
Last year, Cheney did take steps toward change, partnering with Thomas Jefferson University, Starbucks Foundation, and the technology company Epcot Crenshaw.
Epcot Crenshaw is developing a new headquarters right here on campus. Features will include research labs, greenhouses, and a new aquaponics facility.
I think partnerships with foundations and corporations are essential at this moment. What I will say is that you just need to make sure that the partnerships are fair. And the lives of Black students need to be at the center of whatever you are doing. It can't be about profit. It needs to be about the lives of Black students. So I think that Cheney has to, you know, they have to engage in these things. And it's not like Cheney's the only one doing it. I mean, universities across the country are partnering with different restaurants and corporations. And of course, they get foundation support.
We live in a capitalist society, and you either flow or you fail. And I wanted Cheney to flow. And when I saw entities like Thomas Jefferson University and Epcot Crenshaw and Starbucks coming to Cheney, and not in a way where they were paternalistic, giving us a handout, because with Thomas Jefferson, we would collaborate and students could work on a pre-med degree. And Thomas Jefferson would bring its facilities on campus. And Epcot Crenshaw, the same kind of thing, bring its facilities on campus. And Starbucks. And in addition to those, Cheney is also negotiating with a large hotel chain to possibly bring in a hotel and a conference center.
A lot of HBCUs started as a means of educating African Americans. Mm-hmm. They could not get an education at other universities. That has changed, and there's a lot of choice mm-hmm. for Absolutely. Everybody now. Mm-hmm. So do we still need Cheney, and do we still need HBCUs?
This is what it comes down to. The answer is yes. I am certainly not going to say that every white professor, every white administrator at every white school is a racist. I'm not going to say that. But what I will say is that they won't have the connection, the bond, the sympathy that Black professors have at Black universities. I pointed out what happened to me in getting 2 degrees. And even once I got admitted to Ohio State, I was a poor kid from North Philly raised by a single mother. I didn't have the money to drive from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to Columbus, Ohio, to go to law school. A professor, a Black professor at Cheney, gave me his credit card. That wouldn't have happened anywhere else.
Wow.
So it's a couple things. It's that family bond that we need. It's that safe space that we need. So in a perfect world, no, we don't need HBCUs. But in the world that is America, damn right we need HBCUs.
Cheney has produced an amazing group of people who have had an incredible influence. I believe that Cheney can do that again. Okay, I believe Cheney can do that again. I don't believe Cheney can do it if they stay the way they are. I never, ever want to be an advocate for a Black college not surviving. I just think just the contributions of Black colleges to society, to the building of the Black middle class, for me, I don't want us to lose them.
Mary Beth Gassman is a professor of higher education at the University of Pennsylvania. Michael Cord is a Philadelphia attorney and Cheney graduate, and also heads up a group of university alums called Heeding Cheney's Call. The group is seeking to raise $4 million for Cheney by this June.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Thanks once again to our intrepid intern, Xavier Lopez, who gathered interviews at Cheney.
Subscribe to the podcast and tweet us at AnnetteJH and at Shai Ben Yaakov.
We'll be back tomorrow.